Carlo Broussard is in San Diego. So, good morning, Carlo. Is he joining us this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yeah,
hey.
Is it the Diocese of San Diego, Archdiocese?
Yes, Diocese of San Diego.
Oh,
correct.
Wonderful. Awesome. Man, well, it's good to have you here. Of course, I know you've probably heard the news about Tropical Storm Gordon churning out there, and it should make landfall later on tonight. We need your prayers from San Diego.
Indeed, I will throw them up today at Mass.
All right, brother. Take us to
Mass. It will rise like incense.
All right.
Yes, we will. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Well, we're continuing. This storm has not stopped us from continuing your book, Carlo. Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church.
Yes, yes.
So we're here with our rain boots on, and we're continuing on. So what do you have for us today?
Man, y'all better watch out for those water moccasins.
Ooh.
I know. Ooh. That's why the rain boots are on.
So what I have for you today is we're in chapter 14 of the book, and that is, how can I believe that Jesus even existed when the only evidence for him comes from the Bible? Many skeptics doubt the Gospels because its authors were believers. They think that because these guys were Christians, they're just trying to push an agenda rather than relate accurate history.
Mm-hmm.
And this is called the bias argument. You know, they're biased, so we can't really trust what they're telling us, you know? We need non-Christian ancient sources to attest to Jesus' existence. So how do we respond to this? Well, the first strategy that I point out is that the demand for non-biblical references to Jesus' existence is unreasonable. First of all, it assumes that the Gospels are not historically trustworthy. But I've already proven in the previous chapter of the book that that's not the case.
Right.
They are historically trustworthy. And if they are historically trustworthy, well then guess what? We can take them for what they say about Jesus being a real historical person.
I got you.
Now, second, the skeptics' demand for non-Christian sources is based on this assumption that the gospel writers can't be trusted because they're Christian, right? But that's unsound. That's unsound reasoning. Just because someone cares about the content he's reporting about, mm-hmm. it doesn't make him untrustworthy. I mean, for example, Plato tells us about Socrates, and he was Socrates' disciple, right? These ancient philosophers. Should we not trust Plato's records of Socrates' life? Should we not trust American historians and what they say about George Washington? Should we not trust a Jewish author and what he writes about the Holocaust? Of course not. Just because a reporter is invested in the event, it doesn't mean they're not going to be able to record history accurately. And then I would even say having Christian sources ensures accuracy.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys cared about this stuff, so they're going to be sure and recount the historical events in detail to their best ability without error. So they're going to try their best. And then finally, the skeptics' insistence that we ignore the New Testament as evidence for Jesus is simply bad historical research. I mean, why would we ignore the earliest primary sources about Jesus in favor of sources that come much later and are secondary and less reliable?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. That's not good history.
Hmm.
So this demand in and of itself for non-biblical references to Jesus is just unreasonable. Now, let's say, for argument's sake, I concede the demand and say, okay, well, even though your demand is unreasonable, Mr. Skeptic, we actually do have non-Christian sources that affirm Jesus was a real historical person. For example, we have the first century Roman historian Cornelius Tacitus in his work, The Annals, in AD 115, talks about the group called Christians and says this: Christ, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty of crucifixion during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. That's a first century Roman historian, actually a second century Roman historian, affirming and attesting to the existence of Jesus and that he was put to death in crucifixion form by Pontius Pilate.
Mm.
We even have a first century Jewish historian, Flavius Josephus,
yes.
in his work Antiquities of the Jews. He speaks of Jesus as a wise man performing surprising deeds and affirms that Pilate had him condemned to a cross and even refers to the tribe of Christians, a group so-called after him, that is, the Christ. So we have non-Christian sources affirming that Jesus was a real historical person.
So you can
kind of see the flow of this argument. The demand for non-biblical sources for Jesus' existence is unreasonable. But yet, even if we concede that demand, we actually do have non-Christian ancient sources corroborating what the Gospels tell us about Jesus in seed form. So we can take it to the bank that Jesus was a real historical person.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then finally we come to strategy three, and I'll wrap it up here.
Okay.
And that is, we can explain to our unbelieving friend that the rise of Christianity and its rapid growth are unintelligible if Jesus never existed. That Roman historian Cornelius Tacitus that I mentioned a while ago, in that same context where he's talking about Christ being crucified by Pontius Pilate, he talks about the Christians and how an immense multitude of them were convicted. Notice, an immense multitude, and then he starts talking about how mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. How in the world can you have such an immense multitude of Christians into the second century? How do you explain that rapid growth and the success of the Christian movement if Jesus never existed, right? That just doesn't make sense. And then people living at that time said, you know, we're witnesses of Jesus, saying we know, we've seen Jesus. We were there in his ministry. So to say that the Christian movement could have spread so quickly based on a made-up person, man, that strains reason to a breaking point. So with these three strategies, we have ways in which we can help an unbeliever overcome this obstacle of thinking, well, I can't really believe Jesus existed because all we have is the Bible.
Yeah.
No, we don't have only the Bible. Absolutely. And we can trust what these gospel writers tell us about Jesus.
Yeah, Josephus is amazing. My mom, when I was a kid, bought the book, and the thing is about 4 inches thick, but his writings are remarkable. And
So we have a window into that first century there that corroborates the historical details, many of the historical details that the gospel writers tell us about. I mean, Josephus would even talk about John the Baptist, James, the brother of the Lord, which Paul writes about in Galatians 1:19, right?
Yeah.
He talks about the Herodian dynasty and various high priests such as Caiaphas and Annas.
Wow.
So these are gems for us as Christians to show
history,
that our religion is rooted in history.
History, that's right. That's what attracted me to the Catholic Church, the history and the tradition. Carlo, where can we get our hands on this book?
Yeah, well, you can go to shop.catholic.com, and the name of the book is Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, Carlo, we thank you for your gift, your time this morning. I know it's early, so we appreciate you getting
time to hit the road to head to work.
All right, very good, and thanks for taking us to Mass with you this morning. We appreciate
you.
All right, no problem, and may God be with you guys and protect y'all from all that rain.
Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you.
We appreciate your prayers.